You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about the top 10 limiting life beliefs. Oh, wait a minute. It's the top 9 limiting beliefs of life. What are their origins? What's the impact? How to break free? We all need to do some of that some days. I was thinking about that a lot of times we are our personality and we limit ourselves by how we think we are, meaning we do certain things and then we feel guilty if we're missing something that we normally do or we haven't done something according to how we feel we should do it, right? So but these feelings that we have, these emotions that we attach to how we observe our own actions, maybe by the guilt that we feel, or maybe we feel we're letting somebody down or we're not performing up to the level of our ability, or when we compare ourselves to the coworkers, our friends, our schoolmates, that we have these things, these misguided. Well, maybe sometimes they are guided, right? They are guided from a young age to where we are today. We have these rules that we've put upon ourselves that subconsciously guide us to our limits, like what we feel that we can and can't do. Are we going to steal money out of someone's pocketbook? Or are we going to say, no, that we don't do stuff like that? Are we going to take a grape at the grocery store and eat it or go, no, we don't touch food in the grocery store? And we can have different beliefs. One could be that the food in the grocery store is dirty, so I'm not going to do that. We could have one belief that says, hey, that's stealing because I didn't pay for it. We could have another belief that, yeah, maybe we can agree that it's edible and that it's not really stealing, but I don't want someone to see me doing it. So it's like this social contract you have with other people that you're going to do things aligned with society. There's a lot to go on. Number one is, I am not good enough. No matter what I do, I'm just not good enough. I haven't met my family's expectations, right? Or my spouse's expectations, or my three mistresses' expectations. You know, I haven't met any of those. And so I'm really depressed.
High expectation.
So now I need a fourth mistress because maybe I'll meet her expectation.
I had make a survey. With a bee population.
We've got the quality survey and it came back. And sorry, Jim, you haven't met expectations.
Yeah. And I say keep it.
So let's look at this. So origin story, or where's the origin? I am not good enough. Is it something that's instilled in us that makes us feel that we always have to go for something more, though no matter what we accomplish, we still aren't good enough, right? Not good enough for ourself, our family, our friends, society, that we should all be famous. You know, there's this falsehood now out there that everybody is famous because they're all on social media showing how great they have it in their lives and where they've been and how many followers they have. And so now we don't meet the expectations of those people who are influencers, you know, or we don't live up to our own expectation because we see what they're doing. We're going, oh, we should be able to
do that.
To do that. We should at least have seven likes, you know,
in whatever one year.
So in religion, though, we have all have sinned and falled. All have sinned and fall short in the glory or the eyes of God. So that's like one of the religious sayings, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're taught that in religion. I can't even repeat it, but it's in there in the mind somewhere, right? That we've all fallen short. We aren't up to God's standards. And so we think about our life, whether or not you know, you have that doctrine in you, or you even think about it, it's in there somewhere for many of us, is that we're not good enough for our religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
That we always are doing something that we're like, oh, I sinned, or I did something I shouldn't have, or you know, I ate one extra cookie at dinner, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that's the religious standpoint, is that we're not good enough because we can never be good enough in the eyes of our...
Maybe that's not just for, because I know many people have different religion, but this is something that the maybe your grandmother or father have,
yeah,
and then transmit in different way, maybe not by the religion way. So if you have a grandfather that you never met, but they was in one religion group, and then they have this program, they transmit it for kids, so the society has some kind of, based upon that you cannot believe in religion, but your program is in your brain,
yes,
by how program. The house is running.
We talked about how we can have programs passed on from generations before,
mm-hmm,
through our genes, through,
yeah,
activating certain genes,
mm-hmm,
that make us have certain predispositions, or some of the ways we act, and some of the trauma, right? Generational trauma.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually real DNA transmission,
yeah,
of trauma, like where genes are triggered that make us feel stress, and we don't know why. Like, why were we born with stress?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we may have had genes triggered because of something that happened
in the past.
In the past. And when we learn how to maybe deactivate those trigger points, or to learn new behaviors to, despite having anxiety, you know, how do I behave despite anxiety?
And another way I feel the SOM program, not necessarily by this theory, is like the habit and home.
Mm-hmm.
So I see if it, the people, for example, family, there is a frugal with food. So it's like that you bring a little piece of cake in the, you know, in the birthday, and for people that you have a guest, and this attitude go generation to generation, if somebody's not awake, and then you copy this program, and this is limit, because this is a limitation that is not enough for everybody.
Right.
Based upon that you put the cake in your refrigerator, and then it's damaged in 2 weeks. You know, share for people, but also you know, eat
you don't
for
offer
your...
it. You don't offer it. You don't eat it for yourself.
Yeah.
I remember growing up with my parents saying, you have to eat everything. Like, if you have a little food on your plate, like I didn't finish,
yeah,
my broccoli,
yeah,
you need to eat it because there's starving children other places,
yeah,
of the world. So you need to eat this because otherwise
now
you're
everybody's
guilty.
Fat.
Yeah, everyone's fat because we're all eating.
Yeah.
There's starving people here, but you're fat.
Exactly.
And they're starving because you're eating so much. Maybe that's it. So let's go back to the family part of it. So the,
mm-hmm,
families say what you're not good enough is, don't brag, be modest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you don't want to brag. You don't want to think you're good enough, because if you even have that thought of I am good enough, that you're bragging. And so families say, you know, don't do that. Who do you think you are to say something like that? You know, that's a family saying. And then in society, the grading systems we grow up with, you're always graded and compared to other students, right? So there's the average. You know, what's the curve? They started,
mm-hmm,
doing grading curves where C is average. And you're, you know, if you got a C, oh, I'm just average, I'm not good enough compared to someone else. Or then your parents would say something like, why aren't you getting a B? You know, or so it's very difficult to, quote, be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our heads, in our minds, that's how we are. So what's the impact of that on us? So we have low self-worth. We have fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough, fear of getting into a relationship and not being good enough for the other person. Self-sabotage. When we feel things are going really well, they can't. Because
back coming,
yeah.
And you attract that.
You attract bad things happen,
mm-hmm,
because you can't have it too good. It keeps people in unfulfilling relationships. On the other hand, you don't expect a better relationship. So if you're in a bad relationship, you might be, this is as good as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not good enough, so I don't deserve anything better. Right? Who are you to deserve something better? So what else? Oh, in jobs, same thing. You know, if you aren't, quote, good enough, you think that you might be doing a lot of great stuff at your job, but you might be thinking, I'm just not meeting the best I can be. I'm not as good as someone else on my job. It makes us want to be perfect, right? It can procrastinate us doing things because we don't feel we're going to complete them correctly, so we don't even start. And what's last? It can do all of those things, and we don't start something. We want to do something perfect, so we never complete it. I remember having a boss years ago who said, it's much better to have a 50% solution. Just get something moving towards the solution, and then say, here. And then, at that point, you're 50% closer to the final solution. Get another 50%. Now you're 75% there. And then another 50%, and you're at 87.5%. And by the time you do that a couple iterations, you're at that solution where you want to be, but it also allows you to change course as you're getting there. When you're trying to get the perfect solution and you don't even know it's going to work.
Yeah.
One, you never present the perfect solution. And then finally, when you've checked everything off and then you try it and find out it's not what it needs to be, you've just wasted all this time. You could have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed and finally gotten it right, which is something we're going to talk about in another section here. So number one, how do you adjust for this? Be compassionate for yourself. Right? So actually appreciate who you are, what you're capable of, what you've accomplished. And understand that you're in control of growing yourself moving forward and that you're capable of doing that. You've done that to where you are today in your life, and we can all move further. What else can we do? I am enough right now. It's an affirmation. I am enough right now. If I'm not where I want to be, I can continue to grow. But you can't be discouraged about where you are. You might be encouraged by somewhere else you'd rather be, as long as you're on that path of getting there. So the best happiness is when we're on a growth path. We're going to talk about that too as a solution today. Finally, you can maybe be seen as being worthwhile with help through therapy or groups that are supportive. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a group, maybe you like to sing and you never thought you sung well, but you got to a choir and you know what? People appreciate you, your enthusiasm, your input, showing up and supporting others that are in your same situation. So that's always a good thing. Want to go into number two?
Yes. What is number two?
Number two is, oh, look at this. If I try and fail, I'm a failure. Mm. So, you know, you don't want to fail, so you don't want to try. And a lot of us grow up that way, is that they say, if you don't know what you're doing, don't try it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't make a mistake because you don't want to be embarrassed. You know, that kind of stuff. And when we live with that not wanting to fail, then we don't try things. And if we don't try things, we don't learn from the failures to move on to the success.
So that reminds me when in the one of the big crises, you know, in Venezuela, they always is in crisis, but... many people leave in some opportunity that somebody wanna sell the radiero shop, and I don't have idea. My company is consulting, is a documentation system, whatever ISO, and I come in with somebody say, hey, I have the opportunity to buy this business that you don't know about radiero. How you wanna do that?
Mm.
It's better no wasting your money and time something that you don't know. Not do it. And I did.
Right. You did it.
I did. Because it's how you challenge yourself and opportunity. I can learn about radiero. I can administrate. I can do that. And I stay almost, I guess, 2-3 years with the business. And so I made money. So
we have all these limiting beliefs, right? Self-limiting mm-hmm. beliefs. And maybe as a population, we all have them. And it's those people who aren't limited by those beliefs who can become a success in an area because they've tried something that others don't try. They've tried and failed a few times. And finally, whatever they tried finally takes off and they do it well. It doesn't mean you will succeed if you try something,
mm-hmm.
but you will absolutely fail if you don't try.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the reversal. How do you think differently about this? Think about you automatically fail if you don't try it. Right. I know I tried. What was that thing that motorized surfboard where you're hydroplaning off the thing? And I think we tried that for like 2 hours and it was like the most tough and difficult thing. And I fell off so many times.
Yeah, yeah.
And that day I never got it. But you know, I tried it. Will I try it again? Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll try it again.
Yeah.
Maybe someday I'll get it. Maybe someday I won't. I remember paddleboarding. I'm terrible at paddleboarding. You know, you get on and you're unstable and you fall over. But it's okay. As long as you don't hurt yourself really badly, you can hurt yourself a little bit.
And have the discipline to try again. So the felt learns. Okay, I fell when I did that, so let me do again. Oh, I fell when I did that. So, and then you reduce the felt, and then you learn.
So I want to talk about the religious thing of why. What's the religious background for if you try and fail, you're a failure? Here's a saying. Whatever you do, work with it with your whole heart. You are serving the Lord by doing it. So if you do something and fail, then you have failed to serve the Lord. It's like, the point is, if you're going to do something, do it with your whole heart. It's like the old thing about you need to be passionate about your job. If you find something you're passionate about, you're going to do really well at it. That's another, like, one of these things. No, there's, you know, do something because you need to do something.
Yeah.
You know, we're animals trying to survive, and civilization has made it seem like there's some kind of structure there.
Right? I always have in my, when I teach in the university, my last presentation is not do something because you love it. It's love what are you doing.
Yeah.
So you don't have to start to love what are you doing versus start to wait something that you love for doing.
So you know the story about how I dropped out of school and went to pursue music for a few weeks and then realized this is like crazy.
this is something that you love.
I love it, but I'm living in a car. You know, I'm picking change off the floor to try to find food.
How your dad handled this craziness in you. So really, your dad, your parents is so smart. Say, okay, you want to do?
Go ahead.
Do it.
Move out. Live on your own. Out. It's fine.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. Yeah.
And then
if you want to come back here, you got to go to school. But the point of is, like, I was not passionate about engineering, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, and this is where, you talk about brag. My brag is, like, engineering was easy for me. Math and science was always easy. Logically, it made sense. English didn't. Foreign language didn't. Social studies didn't. But engineering and math made sense. Also, phys ed made sense. But, you know, the point is that if I went and pursued music, which, you know, I was loving, part of it was, you know, it was all hyped up and you got to hang out with people and you got to go to the studio and it was just such a fun time. But it was like, yeah, that's passion and I really love this. But you've got to be, like, fantastic and have the right connections, be in the right place at the right time. And I was none of those things. And there are millions of people out there that are really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very few that can be ultimately successful. Yeah. So then again, it's like, you can try and fail at that. And you can hear the stories of the people who try and fail, and suddenly become successful. But they're also really good at what they do.
Yeah.
And maybe they're actually really good at trying and failing. Like, they just kept going for 100 times. But there are some things that you can try and fail at that you will never be successful. I can try and fail at getting taller every year. But I'm not going to get taller. But every year I can say, I want to try to stretch. That I know it's a stupid or silly example, but sometimes we have those goals in our life where it is something we're trying and failing at, and we will never accomplish. But there are many other things we'll try and fail at that we will. The point is to have enough different things that we're trying and failing at, so we move in a direction that, we're like water. We want to be like water. We want to flow from our own power through the path of least resistance, like water does. Water creates its own path, but it tries all these different paths to figure out which one yields to it, and then it takes that path. We should become like water in our lives. Ooh, when we come back, we'll talk more about limiting factors on 90 Day Soulmate. 90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. Today we're talking about limiting life factors. What did we actually call it? We called it limiting life beliefs. And we were just talking about the fear of failure, or don't try if you're going to fail. So the end of this is, when you fear failure, you freeze, right? You just, I feel that I'm going to fail, right? I feel I'm going to fail, so I freeze. It's like stage fright. I go out on the stage to talk in front of a group. I'm going into a play. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do something in front of a group, and I feel that they're going to laugh. I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to not do a good job, and then I freeze. It's called stage fright. That is a belief that we have on something that hasn't happened yet. And then it changes our performance. It changes how we are. So we automatically actually get the result that we think we're going to get because we've now reduced our performance and our ability. So the idea is you should just go out going, you know what? I hope I fail this time. And maybe I'll make it funny and I'll be in control of my own failure. But then again, you'll be in control of your own success. So by trying it and realizing you don't have to be afraid of failure, that it's okay. That maybe being on stage isn't for you. And I did a lot of dinner theater and a lot of different plays when I was younger. And it is kind of a scary thing. But after a while, it becomes like it's exciting. It's enjoyable. Not something you can make a lot of money at, but it's fun to do. How about fail fast and fail forward? Kind of like the water analogy we gave before. Mm-hmm. Try different paths, but keep moving forward and find out which path lets you move in the direction you're looking to go. So having more interests, having more knowledge, having more understanding of more things gives you more opportunity. And as I think I've told you before, and we used to tell our kids, is that make decisions that open up opportunity, not shut them off. So if you're not sure what you want to do for a career, don't not go to college. Go to college and maybe take a variety of courses.
Yeah, to see.
But move forward. Open your brain, use your brain's capacity to learn, to kind of start to understand other things, other directions you might want to go in. Even at our age, we still have that opportunity.
I remember when I did my first career for IT engineering. The 1 week before our graduation, we have the BID director speech, and he mentioned, so right now maybe many of you don't know where you're going in the life, based upon that you have a title, and he always say recommend take a master in something, so start to work in, maybe because when you touch the real life, because we are in the school, we don't know what happened outside. When you are in the works, they take a 1 year in one work, figure out some position of people, and then they say, oh, I want to go to marketing department. So I max my master in marketing, or I go to the industrial. In my case, I love how manufacturing industrial. So let me do my master in technology and industrial. So I match, and they say, when you have two, you can move forward to the next step. So that is like you say, we need to have tool, like the knowledge. So the college is the tool based upon that you don't know yet what you want. Mm. And then your life, if you are awake, you can see opportunities and everywhere.
And what we're talking about right now is focusing on the process, not the result, right? And that is when you set process-based goals rather than performance-based goals. Again, getting out onto stage. I want to be on stage 10 times this year, and I want to talk in front of a group. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a standing ovation and people clapping for me. Sure, that would be a great result. But the first thing is, if my process is there, I'm going to work at my presentation. I'm going to do that 10 hours a week. I'm going to go on stage and present 1 hour a week for the next 10 weeks. And that is the process. The process are those steps. And then I'll see what the results are and then decide, do I need to change my process? The only way to change your results is change your process. If you focus on, I want to win the game, well, that's great. But are you the best hitter that you can be? Are you the best strategist in whatever that is, that game you play? Is it volleyball or tennis? Do you know more about that sport? Have you been working out? Have you been practicing?
Yeah.
And whether or not you win, it's a direct result of your process. It's not a direct result of how hard you play that game that day.
Mm.
It's everything that went up to that day.
Yeah.
So that's it. And then I want to talk about a couple of these studies. So why focusing on effort matters more than results. And I'm going to go right to a study here if I can get to it. So there was a national study of learning mindsets, and this was with 12,500 ninth grade students, where they used a two-session, 25-minute program, which was online, to teach kids a growth mindset. And it was based upon neuroplasticity. It was based upon, they taught the kids concepts about brain growth and the ability for the brain to struggle. And as it struggled, it grew and got stronger. And they taught the kids that when they are struggling to learn something, instead of being fearful about that struggle, to actually understand their brain is growing. By teaching the kids that the struggle is actually the thing to be focusing
important.
These kids went from the bottom of their class to the mid to top of their class because they focused on the learning and not the result.
Mm-hmm.
They focused on working through when it was difficult. It's like, again, you go to work out, right?
Yeah, I love that. I want to stole in this idea for my training process.
So GPAs increased significantly, especially amongst the lowest of the performing students. The students were less fearful of enrolling in advanced college course studies. So they would actually go and start taking higher level courses when they got into college because they knew it would be tough, but they knew that they could put the work in. They were looking at the work that they would need to put in, not the result they would get out. And this changed their lives. And it was a sustained impact that schools with these types of supportive learning environments continued to help students grow faster than those that were working on what's your test score, what's your grade, what's your GPA, how do you rank? That all these rankings really took the focus off the reward of the hard work. And we talked about that when we're working towards a goal. We want to celebrate. We want to have a dinner together. We want to have a party. We want to celebrate along the way. Not just that when we get there, but you want to celebrate along the way to reward the work.
Yeah.
Not reward the reward. Reward the reward. The reward of all the hard work, right? So we're going to do all this, and we're going to have a tree in 20 years that has apples. Okay. If we just wait for the tree to have apples, it may not have apples, but if we work every year, and the goal is this year I want the tree to grow 6 inches. I want to make sure we fertilize it. I want to make sure that we keep
clean
the grass clean.
Are
clean.
Yes, and cut the little branches.
That becomes our goal.
Yeah.
And if we make that our goal, and we just don't have to focus on one thing, right? We were talking about the water, multiple paths.
Mm-hmm.
If we have all these efforts that we're putting in, multiple paths, we will get goals that come to fruition.
Yeah.
Fruition, the first five letters are F R U I T, fruit, fruition, right? So we will get results of the efforts that we plant, the efforts we sow. And this study is an amazing study. It's called the National Study of Learning Mindsets. It was from 2019. It was published in an article in a magazine or a publication called Nature. And it was actually really, really good. What else do we want to talk about? Let's go to number three. Number three was, I don't deserve love, success, happiness. I don't deserve it. Because if I think I deserve it, I'm being selfish, right? If I think I deserve it, I'm what else am I being? I'm being...
That's just like the first, no?
Let's see how this is. The heart is deceitful, but like is desire, like deserve, desire, like okay. I shouldn't deserve, I shouldn't desire. That in a family, we have conditional love. You don't deserve my love, but you'll get it if you do the right things. So it's like, if we feel like we just deserve love, but we've been conditioned to only expect love when we do certain things, then it's conditional love. And so a lot of us don't feel we deserve love and that we have to do things in order to get love. It can be that we had emotional neglect. And then also, a lot of these are linked, because I don't deserve love or success is because in the past, things have focused on performance over self-worth. So don't care how you feel about yourself, you'll only be judged on your performance. So again, we want to build the intrinsic motivation of feeling self-worth, of feeling I deserve to be successful, but understanding that the work needs to be put into the process, not just do I find my self-worth coming from success. My self-worth should come from the effort I put into the process and the small goals that are daily building and building and building.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
How about I'm too young or too old?
Yeah, that is a limit. Many people limit because belief. Everything is relating to the age.
I can't learn anything else.
Yeah. Or maybe there's somebody so young for understand that.
Too young.
Too young, too old, and this sometimes is not the age, the point.
How about this? Act your age. Or you're too old to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not old enough to do that. How about this? Here are four examples. A lot of people have heard of these examples. Colonel Sanders, he was 65 years old when he began franchising his business. So Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, I know this is.
So that's the story.
Yeah, yeah.
He went around in his car and door to door trying to sell his recipe.
We start to do our business. 65.
Oh, we have to wait. We have to wait. We're too young.
We're too young. 25 years, I have to wait. Oh, my.
Did you know about Vera Wang? I didn't know about this. Vera Wang, who is the designer, right? Fashion designer, Vera Wang. She didn't start until 40, when she was 40. Mm. Very old, so super old.
At this time.
That she was a figure skater, I did not know this. And she worked tirelessly to learn design, build connections, and master a competitive industry that most people had entered years and decades earlier. So she focused on the process of who she had to meet, what she had to learn to get up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just saying, I am a designer, here I am. It's like, well, I have to learn and build to enter this industry. And so she proved that now she's a household name for some people.
Mm-hmm.
How about younger success? I was having a hard time with this because this goes kind of against what we were talking about. But if you know Billie Eilish, a singer, she rose to fame at age 15 with a song called Ocean Eyes. I don't really know it. I'm probably, if I heard it, I would, and I apologize to our audience. Her rapid success, because she became success at age 15, was years of music training. Hours and hours of writing songs, recording with her brother in their home studio. So, like, it was years of doing stuff, and then this hit happened when she was 15. So it wasn't like 15 she decided to become a musician. She had been doing it for years. And I've always told the story of Taylor Swift and how I heard about her through her father when I worked at that financial company. At the age of 13, she had written hundreds of songs, recorded songs. No one knew of her, and the dad took her to, or actually the family moved to Nashville for her to start a recording career. And she had a demo record. But again, years of writing songs, really good at singing, really good at playing guitar, really good at telling stories. It was developed over a long time frame and then became successful in that industry. The point being, is that it's still an industry where very few are successful. However, it shows that no matter what industry you go in, whatever success you want to be, it's not whether you're young or old, it's the effort you put in.
No, it's easy. The guy from Facebook, for example, he was pretty young when he opened the company, you know, so he's working hard, he's be focused on what are you doing, and he was pretty young, and now he's a millionaire.
Young millionaire, billionaire, I think, right?
Yeah, or more.
Yeah.
So
those are the young and the old successes. And how about this one? How about taking care of myself is selfish? Right?
That's our program limit.
Love your neighbor as yourself, meaning you should love your neighbor like more than you love yourself. Put others first. You know, you should take care of that. And then there's another philosophy now, which is you can only take care of your neighbor if you've taken care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you can eat, you can then go and help your neighbor eat. But if you can't eat, you don't have the energy to go help them. So, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your neighbor.
Yeah. Also, you cannot help somebody if you don't help yourself.
Exactly. How about this one? Don't be selfish. Your family would say, don't be selfish. Like when you would take something for yourself. You're not the only one who matters. So a lot of these sayings are innocuous. They're actually probably correct.
Yeah.
But if you hear it and you hear it and you hear it, now you start thinking,
yes.
Is what I am doing now selfish? Because I'm doing something for myself. You know what? I'm not going to do it because that's selfish.
Yeah.
And these are limiting.
It's a balance that you need to. I think sometimes that if I be focused on myself for achieve something and investing to myself, but also I thinking how I can help others when I achieve something they have. So that is the balance when. So we have our.
The orphanage that
we take care of, Ayuda Ben. So this is part of how we balance. So we're working for us. We enjoy what we are, but at the same time, also we help others. So also this kind of the show is something that the, we pay versus that we have money.
Sure.
And then it's try to share message for people. So.
And we get to spend time with each other talking about subjects.
We learn because...
I learned that I like you.
Yeah. You're teaching pretty good.
So you can't pour from an empty cup is something to understand, is that your cup needs to be full in order to pour into somebody else's cup. Mm-hmm. And we could volunteer at an orphanage, or we could earn money that allows us to help pay and support the orphanage. We could do both, of course. But the point is that sometimes specializing in what your best value is, and maybe I'm better at earning income here, and I have a hard time because of my personality. I may have a hard time relating to people, and in that case, maybe it's not good that I would try to relate to people. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's better that I would provide some kind of funding so they could take care. You know, others could take care.
I know me. I like to be involved, so I'm the person that testing also part of the kit, and almost every week we are in contact. So because I like to share love.
You do. How about successes for other people? Rich people are greedy. Oh, and how about your favorite one? It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Who says these things? People who want you to give your money to them.
Yeah, so the 10% that you need to share, yeah.
So I know we say that a lot, and the point is focus on riches other than helping others and giving is I think that the last one that we talked about, the one prior to this of taking care of others, like, yes, you can achieve and help others. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of don't achieve because in achieving you're going to be greedy. You should be poor and help others.
No. So the people in their mind, some coaches relay, so rich is bad, poor is good. Mm-hmm. I want to be a good person in the life. So be poor is be good person. That's equation is not.
Well, there is balance because there are greedy rich people, right? There are rich who, and when we think of rich, sometimes we think of, in order for them to have gotten rich, they have had to take advantage of other people.
But why? Why are you thinking of that? That's the point.
Because in some situations, that can be true.
Mm-hmm.
In some situations, the TV and television shows focus on that. Society, we have elitism, classism. We have politicians on both sides talking about the super wealthy putting their money into the race, how one side is controlling the media, the other side's controlling activists, and you know, oh, it's the wealthy who are tilting and spoiling and making things rotten. And it's like, and then the news jumps on top of it because it sells stories. So we talk about that success is people who are successful and very successful are ruthless, and they're not to be trusted. And again, some, sure. Others, no. Others are doing help and helping many people, yeah. Right?
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. We're talking about limiting beliefs, limiting factors that limit us in our life. Everything we know, everything we think, how we are right now, is because of our brain and how it thinks we are. If we grew up in the jungle without any education, without family, without friends, without the media, we would live a natural life according to what rules that we learned in that jungle. We are living in the jungle of civilization, and we're doing the same thing. We're learning how to think based upon everything we see. It's only a little bit of how we were born, but most of it is what we're taught, what we've been exposed to, our friends, our education, our trauma. All these things have created this thought structure that's in our deep subconscious, and it makes us move in certain ways based upon what we see daily. We think, oh, we're making decisions. Oh, how I think is objectively observant. Everything I see and my conclusions are correct. And we almost all think this way, even though we all have different conclusions. And when you see two people arguing about something and they're both right, well, they are both right in their own minds, because according to everything they know, that's true. And the problem we have is we are trapped in those limiting beliefs. And there are, I'm not going to get into Dianetics today, but I remember this from 40 years ago, is that we are trapped by our processes in our brain, and we've got to break free of these thoughts that keep us in check. But in check might be a good thing. In check might be a bad thing. It might be stopping us from doing things that are good for ourselves as well as our family. It may be also stopping us from doing things that would be harmful to ourselves and our family and society. Right? Our brains may also be making us do things that are bad for ourselves, our families, and society, and justify the reasons for doing it. And we feel like, well, you know, I'm justified in doing this. That people are doing what they're doing because they feel justified in doing it. And yet everyone has a different
view,
a different thing they want to do. And we all think, you know, sometimes we think that everyone around the world is just like us. And so if we think something should be some way, oh, everyone should be at peace, everyone should be at war, everyone should be this way or that way, we think everyone should understand that because I'm so smart and everyone else is so smart and we should all know this. But yet we have different views.
And also I talking about the smart conversation. When you have some conversation with somebody, you acting like that you want to learn and also try to teach what the other people say, mm-hmm. versus that you try to thinking how put your thought and do some kind of, I cannot say, like the proof which one is right. So that is not a smart conversation. Smart conversation means that you enjoy, you listen, you also put in the food of the other person, and then you try to maybe say, okay, I can agree or not agree the idea, but it's not the point, agree or not, is create a smart conversation.
So here, my brain has grown up thinking everything about hammers. Hammers work this way. They've got a claw. They hit things. This is how a hammer. So my brain is finely tuned to understanding everything about hammers. Now here you come along. You know everything about screwdrivers. how they work, leverage. You know how screws have strength and give strength to wood when it puts together. Now, you and I come up to a piece of wood that needs to be put together. I know nothing about screwdrivers. Hammer. You got to use a hammer. You got to use nails. That's the way to do it. It's the best way for it. And you come across that same problem, and you're thinking, screws, screwdrivers is the best way for it. Am I going to use a Phillips head or a regular head, a flat head? How am I going to do this? Am I going to use a stainless steel or am I going to use a carbon steel? Is it going to be dipped and galvanized? What am I going to, like, you come to approach that situation the way that you think is best to attach those boards together, and I do. And we both know we are correct. It's the same way two people approach societal problems. Here's a problem, and they both come in, one with the hammer solution, one with the screwdriver solution, and they both think the other's absolutely nuts and crazy for their solutions. But they're both thinking they're trying to accomplish potentially similar things as a result. But yet, they can't even have a conversation about it. Because the one will hammer you.
The other screw you.
The other screw you. That's how it works. So when we talk about I can't change, this is part of it. Part of it is religious misinterpretation is you were born in sin. So I'm sinful, so I can't change, right? That's how I am.
You always say that. You never change.
How about school? You're lazy. You know, somebody's told they're lazy as a kid, and now they think they're lazy their whole life. Like me, I'm lazy. Family. Oh, that's just how you are. You know, or they'll say, oh, that's just how he is. You know, the kid who's screaming at the top of their lungs at age 4. Oh, that's just Jimmy. You know, no, that's what you're allowing Jimmy to be. You know, and Jimmy, you know what? That's not how you are. You can control yourself. You can act differently. And here are some ways to do that. How about, and we talked about neuroplasticity. Through neuroplasticity, we can learn new things. We can change. We can grow.
Yeah.
Amazingly fast and quick. How about I'm not smart or talented enough? You've always been graded, again, on results, not on efforts. So if you're only seeing results, you may not want to put in the efforts because maybe your results haven't been good and you're just like, why even bother? Oh, here's one. Say you are really good at something, but your religion teaches you humility. You don't want to show it off because that's what you feel. If I do this, I'm being a show off. I need to be humble. I need to show humility. I need to not show the gifts that I have. And so I'm not smart or talented enough because I'm being told don't even try to be because you're bragging. Again, going back to what we talked about, don't brag, don't show off. So allow yourself to understand there are multiple intelligences. We can be good in many different things. They can be different from somebody else. And as we talked about, everyone can be really smart in specialized areas. Somebody may be really good emotionally and intelligent in their emotions with somebody, where someone else may be really intelligent about how things work. Maybe they're really good with screwdrivers. You know, they might be good with physics.
And also thinking in the now versus in the future. So the if you are good to maybe make sushi because you like to prepare sushi, maybe your first roll in sushi when you open and you cut the sushi is coming that. So you not label yourself, oh, I am so bad making sushi. I am bad now. Let me try tomorrow and I have the next week. So some label is temporary. So you may be thinking that you know are good now, but there's no limit to you can be better later. So.
Right. And add to that, let me not judge how I am right now. Let me judge that every day or every week I'm trying it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to set my, I'm good at trying again. I'm good at following my schedule. Yeah. I am good at getting the proper amount of rest. I am good at exercising 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. I am good at learning Spanish. Right? You work on the process. You're good at the process because that's something you can control. The outcome may come a day later. It may come a year later. It may come 10 years later. And again, it may come in an area that you're surprised about. So please, please allow yourself to be exposed to many areas that you want to grow in, because it may turn out to be something that you had no idea that you really wanted to do or you were really good at until you actually try it, which means you have to try it. So please, this week, go out and try new things, develop a process for growth in your life, and overcome any self-limiting beliefs that you have by just growing through them and taking action. Thanks.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.